Hello everyone, I'm George Myland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this video is reflecting on half a century since the death of Francisco Bahamonde Franco, who ruled Spain certainly from 1939, arguably from 1936, until his death on the 20th of November 1975. So he was a military dictator, but was known as El Caudillo, as in the leader, but also liked to be known as Captain General. The rank would only be given to the king previously. He was the leader of Spain in the last crusade against communism, as was said. So a chap from the from a master mariner's family in Ferrol, in the very northwest corner of Spain, in his era is known Ferrol del Caudillo, as in of the leader. But they've dropped that. So he had one younger brother who was a distinguished aviator. And that's when aviation was a very, very new thing. So he's a professional army officer. And one of the seminal memories of his childhood was of Spain losing the American War, as in therefore losing the Philippines and Puerto Rico. He wanted to recover them. He grew up in a very traditional family. Now, 99% of Spaniards were Christians, virtually were Catholics, and his was a zealously Catholic family. It was very formative in his case. Perhaps I shan't give you his autobiography. So for liberals and leftists, he's evil. For conservatives, at best, he's an embarrassment. There's a debate: was he a fascist? Was he an ultra-conservative, or what? He was certainly a Spanish nationalist, want to keep it united, and that meant the Castilian identity, suppressing the Basque and the Catalan identities, outlawing any public use of their language, and so forth. And he promoted Catholicism as central to Spanish identity and so forth, wanted to glorify the Reconquista against the Moors and the conquista of the American colonies and so on, bringing the light of the gospel to the benighted heathen. And now obviously that was driven largely by self-interest, desire for plunder and enslavement, and it was horrific for the indigenous people. Now, there's a credit and a debit column to what imperialism, but Spanish imperialism was amongst the worst, certainly in the early stages. You should read The Destruction of the Indies by Bartolomeo de las Casas, a Spanish priest who was there in what's now Mexico, Christianity of the Aztecs, and initially was very committed to his mission, but began to see what they were doing was absolutely horrific. The systematic extirpation of a culture and a civilization by one which, in some ways, was inferior, in other ways, superior. But my goodness, and obviously, we shouldn't over romanticize the Aztecs with their cult of human sacrifice. There wasn't, I mean, there were some good aspects of their culture, just like Spain had public executions of heretics and so on. Yeah, Franco, best known for overthrowing the leftist coalition government in 1936, the Spanish Civil War 1936 to 39, which some people regarded as being the dress rehearsal for the Second World War. Obviously, Italy under Mussolini and Germany under Adolf Hitler sent assistance. The Spanish, sorry, the Italians some ground troops, the Germans mainly the Condor Legion, as in the Air Force, and that was possibly determinative in the outcome of the war when he overthrew the Second Republic, the Republic. But didn't bring back the monarchy. So it wasn't clear at the beginning that he was going to be top dog amongst the nationalist generals. So the reactionaries, the fascists, conservatives, and so on, the Spanish known as nationalists, and the communists, whether Stalinists or Trotskyite, social democrats, liberals, anarchists, they're known as Republicans. So these are vociferous groups, but the nationalists managed to weld together better. And the Basque nationalists and Catalan nationalists were often fairly conservative and religiously observant. So Franco missed a trick there, not offering them some sort of autonomy to divide his enemies. But yeah, he was rigid, inflexible, narrow-minded. Not many people have a good mind, a good word to say about him. So he was an odd figure around which to base a cult of the personality. You know, he was short, had a premature paunch, balding, had a silly high-pitched voice. Was decidedly uncharismatic, was only a medium ability, public speaker, and so forth. He was married, I think he had the one daughter who married Serrano Suñer, his foreign minister. So that was him. So he compiled lists of Jews, but the Jews were not persecuted. But was this preparatory to hand them over to the Third Reich? You know, a lot of his troops were Moroccan Muslims, so it wasn't anti-Muslim. And what else? So he brought in strict censorship, obviously. Catholicism was indoctrinating people in school and whatever else. So yeah, they were just propagandized all the time. So no freedom of expression, no trades union, no right to strike. Though there were strikes, there were some small scale demonstrations in the late 60s. And then Spain was one of the poorest countries in Western Europe. Bear in mind, it missed out on the Second World War, but of course it had a horrendous 2.5 year civil war. And so very reliant on American aid after the Second World War. And there was a lot of malnutrition. And he was vengeful. Tens of thousands of people were executed even after the war was over. And often released after years if they were seen as to be penitent, would get no war pensions or anything like that. But emigration was allowed. And so the Spanish often went to work in other European countries, particularly France, their neighbor. So the nearest rich country, where they integrated very easily, mastered the language quite quickly, usually, and the cuisine was not too different if they had a religion called as Catholicism. And the French left embraced Spanish leftists. And some going to West Germany, remember the days when Germany was divided, or indeed to the United Kingdom or overseas. So yeah, the 60s began to take off when they started large-scale tourism. But this is a country in which even men couldn't be topless on the beach unless they're actually going into the water. So it's a control freak society. So I wouldn't miss Franco one bit. Now, I'm a convinced anti-communist. So the question is, was he the lesser of two evils? Now, but had the Republicans won, would there have been a second civil war between them? Well, there actually was, even during the Civil War, Republican Stalinists and Trotskyists fighting against each other. And Stalin, seeing the Civil War partly as an opportunity to apprehend Trotskyites or Trotskyists, read Homage to Catalonia about it by George Orwell. So that was Franco here, El Movimiento Nacional. So the national movement, the only political party, Sección Femenina, as in the women's movement, and it was very clear that a woman's place was in the home. They weren't banned from higher education and professions. It was firmly discouraged, though, to marry as young as possible, have as many children as possible, and so forth. Now, he kept the country neutral in the Second World War. The Axis was hoping he would join them. So yeah, in some ways, he was oppressive, but he was willing to grant independence to Equatorial Guinea in Africa in the early 60s, and so forth. It was the only European country to send any troops to Vietnam, I think a 20-man medical unit, to aid the Americans. And so the succession problem, he thought the Count of Barcelona, the pretender to the throne, was dangerously liberal, wouldn't have him, had his son, Juan Carlos, who was born in exile in Rome in 1938, brought him back after the Second World War to groom him, to bring him up to a man after Franco's own heart. And then it was declared that he would become the next king, and indeed he did. So I knew an old British journalist who went to Spain to cover the death of Franco, and Franco took 6 weeks to die. This is widely trailed. The people saying, well, they were largely inflating corpse. He was brain dead at the end. I don't know why they timed it then. I think partly to coincide with the anniversary of the death of Miguel Primo de Rivera, a right-wing theoretician executed right at the beginning of the Spanish Civil War. And whenever there's a roll call of the nationalists in the Civil War, they would say his name first of all, and everyone said presente, as in present, as in him. So that's him. So his legacy is largely dismantled, and property that his family were given has been since confiscated. He was interred with the greatest honor in Valle de los Caídos, the Valley of the Fallen, north of Madrid. And he's since been disinterred and so forth. So yeah, they no longer have Catholicism as a state religion. Homosexuality has been decriminalized. It's a very liberal society. It's obviously in the European Union. Democracy is very firmly embedded, and many people despise his legacy. So yeah, and mainstream right really wants nothing to do with him, sees him at best an aberration. So that's Francisco Bahamonde Franco. No, I think it was very bad to stifle Catalan and Basque national identity. I prefer Spain remains united, but I'm not sure. If I were Basque or Catalan, what independence? I'm not sure. Probably not. I wouldn't be a terrible thing if they went independent. But yeah, he was a bad guy in many ways. If you're going to fight this war, you should be merciful and like not execute people afterwards. Try and bind up the nation's wounds to reunite people. So that is Francisco Mag Franco, widely detested. And obviously, I think Spain is a very different place, a very much better, fairer, more humane place half a century on. Thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate PayPal, georgecallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.